The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold's dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on Africa.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show. I'm your host, David Wren, aka Dave from LA. Today is May the 16th, 2016. Wow, May is already gone. Half the year is already gone. We'll be in the 6 month pretty soon, everyone. So today is a Monday, and I just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. That is brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network, and we have a live show for you today. I didn't get wasn't able to post what the show was going to be about. Was so busy from the time that before the sun came up this morning. Lot of work, crazy weekend. Had a lot of things going on, busy weekend. So that's always good, but it causes you to fall behind in time and different things. But we will still have a live show for you today, and looking forward to that show. But before we get started in the show, we definitely have to talk about and take care of business that is at hand, and that is the overall support for Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that are here via Black Talk Media Project. Now, we have a crowdfunding campaign that's going on right now that you can support. You've heard about it. We talk about it all the time, but this crowdfunding campaign continues because what happens is your energy, your financial energy that you can transfer by way of making contributions can be used by the overall station to be able to maintain itself. See, very, very important. You know, it's really easy for us to sit back and listen to Tando Radio Show and to sit back and to listen to Black Talk Radio Network and all of the overall programs that are here, because the responsibility in order to bring that to you is not something that you may engage in. But the information you consider it to be valuable, you consider it to be essential, and you consider it something that adds value to your life. And that is something that Scotty has designed and put together for that reason. But in that, there is a cost that's involved. A lot of people always look at their cost as something, and they don't look to as far enough to look at what the cost is for something else to happen. Very easy to look down a one-way street when it's just, you know, looking after your interests. But see, Scotty's taking on everything and doing this, and there needs to be financial support in order to do that. You can understand that because you understand how important finances is to your life, to your family, and to everything else. So goes to say the same thing for the network. In order for it to remain viable, it is going to have to be able to pay its way to maintain its overall position that it has gained. So that takes the funding of it. That takes the financial energy in order to do that. Just like you, if you don't eat, you become malnourished because you're not getting enough substance for which your body is already consuming and burning. Same thing with the network, same thing with you and your home, same thing with everything else. So there is a crowdfunding campaign that you can actually jump into and support the network, because that's what it is that you'll be doing. And you can do that by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com and look for the crowdfunding Digital Black Media Project, and it's right there, and you'll see it. Black Talk Media Project's crowdfunding campaign. So let's talk about it. With the first option, option number one, if you make a donation of $24.99 or less, in the way in which you can do that, and before we say that, all contributions and donations are priceless, because that is saying that you value this enough to give financial energy that you worked for in order to see it through. And that is critical for it to continue. So if you give $24.99 or less, and you can make payment that to the crowdfunding campaign by PayPal or sending a check or money order to Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina 28120. And with that option one contribution, you will receive the monthly statistics performance report of the radio station and social media operations via email. Option number two, to make a one-time contribution of $25 or more, one penny or more, you will receive everything in option one, that being the monthly statistic performance report and the social media operations via email. You will also receive a free Black Radio Station Matters t-shirt to go along with the other things that you will receive from option one. And to receive more than one t-shirt, a t-shirt will be provided for every $25 contribution, increment contribution that you make. So if you want two t-shirts and you would donate $50, excuse me. If you want three t-shirts, you would donate $75. If you want four t-shirts, you would donate $100. So that's option two, and the t-shirts are being shipped and delivered. Make sure you leave a good address and a size for the different t-shirts that you will be ordering. For everyone that you order, make sure there's a size correspondent to each one. Next, option number three would be a monthly contributor of $25 or more. In addition to receiving the monthly email reports, your free Black Radio Station Matters t-shirt as an appreciation, you will also be eligible to receive gifts from the radio station as a appreciation for your contribution and financial support to Black Talk Media Project. So, once again, make sure you put in the appropriate size if you're ordering more than one t-shirt, but even if you're ordering one t-shirt, it's critical that we get the size for that t-shirt. So this is how you can support Black Talk Radio Network. This is how you can actually be a part of it. This is how you can ensure that it will be here tomorrow and on air, because that's important to you. That's important to us all. So there is a part that we can do. A lot of people only want to eat the fruit. Very few want to feed the roots. And all of you that have contributed, appreciate you and thank you for doing that, because that is essential for this tree to continue to grow and to do the things that is needed and what is required of our overall collective objectives here. So tell your friends, tell your family members about Black Talk Radio Network so it can continue to grow that way also. Now, also with our show, Tando Radio Show. You can go to Facebook for now and check us out there and see some of the articles that we posted. And over the weekend, let me see, did I post much this weekend? Oh, I know, I already didn't because I was extremely busy this weekend. So we got a couple of articles that are there, and we're going to pick up in today's show. In today's show, we're definitely going to talk about Venezuela, and we're going to talk about the 96-hour margin call. We're going to pick that up also. So with that being said, let's check out some of the articles, very few articles that we posted there, but let's check them out anyhow. Okay, now, this one comes from Reuters. Venezuela's opposition slams desperate state of emergency. Venezuela's opposition on Saturday slammed a state of the emergency decree by President Nicolas Maduro, who vowed to press home efforts to remove the leftist group. Venezuela is falling apart. And we're going to take a look at that and what that means. Next article, EU referendum. More than 300 business leaders back a Brexit, meaning Britain exiting the euro. More than 300 business leaders are calling on Britain to vote to leave the European Union, saying that the country's competitiveness is being, I can't see the rest of it, but this comes from the Telegraph. And this is very important. We're going to talk a little bit about this. Why is this so important? This is important because this is how you start to have the economic displacement within Europe. And when Europe goes, the U.S. will shortly follow. So, been saying that for a while, and it is going, folks. So everything is lining up for this summer to be a very eventful one, and one in which you do not want to be caught off guard by. So check out that article. And the one thing about this, when Britain leaves, there's other countries that will follow suit, and this is going to be the overall trend in movement and the momentum that is going to be gaining, and it's going to bring so much instability to Europe. And Europe is already has his back up against the walls, but up against the wall. So this is, you know, this is where we are. This is what's really happening, and you need to know. So now, next one. Article comes from the Telegraph. It says Britain's competitiveness is being undermined by a failing EU. Goes along same thing with the same thing. Check out that article. Next one. This one comes from Wall Street Journal, another energy company that was going bankrupt, and that was all that I was able to get out today because crazy days, crazy schedule. Time is, you know, going bye-bye. And my day is filling up quickly and got to get many things done in a short amount of time, so wasn't able to post a lot. But I will get back to that at an appropriate time because I'm going to have to kind of cut back on some things so I can focus on some things that really matter before I really start focusing on some of the things that we need to do within our overall house and our family, because things are really shaping up to be one in which you want to be prepared for, and I'm going to have to make sure that that is done on my side completely. So that is some of the articles that we posted there. There are a bunch of, you know, we posted so many articles, it seems weird that we ended with 14 minutes to go before the break. But today's show, what we're going to talk about today on today's show, we're going to talk about Venezuela. And particularly, there's an article that came from PanAmPost.com talking about Venezuela's residents resorting to hungry dogs. Venezuela's hunting dogs, cats, pigeons as food runs out. And this was from an article last week or earlier. No, it was on the 4th, earlier this month, about a week ago or so, a little more than that. But we need to really look at what's going on here because this is a indication of what you may be seeing. Well, I won't. I'm going to tell you. This is an indication which you will be seeing, unfortunately, very soon. So, going to definitely jump into that when we come back out the break. But before we go to the break, there's a couple of things that we are going to talk about before that happens. So, everyone, if you're interested in supporting a black business, in which I forgot to do, you could tell I'm very tired. If you can't tell, I could tell, and I'm very tired. Fell off script here, but that's okay. We'll jump back right on it. If you are interested in supporting a small black business that has a great product, and that is a seasoning company out of Georgia that produces some great, great seasoning known as Uncle Fats. All natural products are being used, and the natural products, the herbs and the vitamins and the minerals that are inside of this is going to be, do your body good, and this is what we really need to do. You can go and get Uncle Fats. You can email them at getunclefats@gmail.com. That's getunclefats@gmail.com, and have this sent to you. This stuff is good. I absolutely love it on everything, and it is something that you really, really need to try. So if you're interested in that, very easily, just email getunclefats@gmail.com, and they will send you all of the pertinent information and get your order shipped out to you. And if you actually tried Uncle Fats, give us a call. Let us know, because I already know how it, you know, what it enhanced, and it enhances pretty much everything. So that is another thing. Also, if you're interested in purchasing precious metals, you could do that with us at prosperitymint.com. That is PROSPERITYMINT.com. Prosperitymint.com. Some of the orders that we had have gone out. So if you're interested in purchasing real, transferring your currency into real money, which is something that you should be doing, then you can definitely do it there with us, and greatly appreciate it. And we'll get your metals relatively quickly, and then you can move on to having another portion of some of the things that are necessary to be prepared, taken care of. So that is up and running. So if you are interested in buying, in actually converting your cash into real money to get the assets, we are here to facilitate those needs, and on the website has some of the products that we have. So let's real quick, because okay, we got time. So I haven't been able to do this. Let's go to if you're there around, go to Prosperity Mint, and you can check out some of the things that we have there. And I'm gonna tell you some of the things that I like. We're gonna do the website. We're gonna complete is some more information, put more products on here and everything else. Just got to get with the overall web designer, my man Big Rob, and so that everything is fully functional. So, but some of the things I like, some of the products that I like that's there. And silver, let me tell you, there is a Congo silverback coin that is there from the Congo. Gorgeous, gorgeous coin. Definitely going to increase in value. Love that. And on here, I put a couple of, you know, coins that a lot of people don't, you know, really know that is available and out. But this one have a lot of African coins that are there. So this one is from the Congo, the silverback. Next one to that is from Somalia, the elephant. Then there's the 2 ounce. I have a 2 ounce Cleopatra. That's a really, really nice round. Big difference between a round and a coin. A coin is something that's minted by a government. A round is just minted by a private company. So we have that. We have some peace dollars. We have Mexican onzas as coins. And we have Johnson Matthey silver bars, which are going to be very valuable in the future because that company is no longer in existence. And some of the last bits of its product is out, so that is good. Also, we have the Mexican Libertad, one of my favorite coins, actually. And then the Rwanda Meerkat coin. Love that coin. Then we have the American Silver Eagle. Then we have some different variety of rounds that's there. So those are some of the silver ones that's there. I love, like I said, the African, some of the African coins. If you, ladies, if you have a gentleman in your life, a Congo silverback coin would be a great, great gift, or just a means and measure of kindness to them. And fellas, you know, good to have you purchasing and securing your family's future by having real money come into the family and teaching them what it is all about is critical for our young people. So those are some of the things that are there. Then there's also gold, platinum, palladium, and rhodium. But those were some of the ones I wanted to point out to you guys that were available. So, and with the pricing that you see there, that covers all of the shipping and handling insurance that is needed. So that is the total price right there. So just wanted you to know that. Okay, so let's jump into today's class. Man, I'm tired. Class, we don't have a class into today's show. Have a class after the show. But let's jump into today's show. Okay, so one of the things I wanted to look at was Venezuela before we go to a commercial break. And I'm not quite sure how we've talked about it here on Tando, but Venezuela is a clear indication of some of the things that's going on there. I'm going to post an article, and this is a little older. It was from last week, I believe it was. I'm not quite sure. Let me see. It was an article, a pretty good article, against the crony capitalism organization. That came out on the 11th, so last week. But this is going to be one of the articles. It has a picture there, so check out this article. Let me see, is it really an article? No, it's just a picture. But this picture pretty much says everything. We'll post it inside of Tando so that you can check it out. But we need to really, really talk about it and how this could adversely affect us all. So I just posted it there in Tando for you to check out. And then when we come back out of the commercial break, we're going to go into a commercial break a little earlier because I got to grab some water. But when we come back out of the commercial break, we're going to jump into what's going on in Venezuela and how this is an indication for you all and why does this really matter. So, listening to Tando Radio Show, let's go to a commercial break. And then when we come out of a commercial break, as always, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, definitely, definitely give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032 pound. Then hit star 61. I'll see you in queue and definitely bring you up. If you'd like to talk about anything, we will do it. But we're going to also do the 96-hour margin call after we touch on Venezuela. Very, very important. So when we come back out of break, if you'd like to jump in on the conversation before we have it or anything, I never, ever, ever stop calls in or delay calls because I don't like to keep the callers waiting. If there's something you want to bring up, question or comment or anything else, definitely do that. So you're listening to Tando Radio Show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
The world will soon place you and your family members under geopolitical, economic, and social unrest. Are you ready? If your answer is no, then this is the opportune time for you to become informed, aware, and prepared for soon coming events. For only $25 per month, become educated in the area of precious metals and disaster preparedness for your home and businesses. For more information, email wolf6pack1@gmail.com. Because becoming an entrepreneur is very empowering, we would also like to encourage you in firing your boss. Learn the wonderful opportunities in the Forex market. Find out more about these proven strategies at www.imarketsliveinternational.com. The time has come that we become empowered instead of exploited.
You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show. Got something on your mind? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-PAM. Hit *61 at any time to signal the host. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network. To avoid at all costs.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rain, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and I just want to thank you all for listening. So we're going to jump into today's show, live show for you today. And we're going to be talking about Venezuela in the first hour, and then we'll jump into the 96-hour margin call. We'll pick up where we left off, and that is basically a role play of some of the things that could be happening relatively soon, and how that could play out and why that is so important, and then so that you can see what it is that you need to really be thinking about. So let's check out. There was a article that Pan Am Post. Is this Pan Am Post? Yes. PanAmPost.com had, and I posted it earlier, but we really didn't get to touch on it. So I wanted to read this and go into it. It says, news briefing. Hungry Venezuelans hunting dogs, cats, pigeons as food run out. Economic crisis and food shortages lead to looting and hunting stray animals. And this was earlier in the month. It was on the 4th. And the article goes into, says that the mayor of the capital of Venezuela said the streets of the capital of Venezuela are filled with people killing animals for food. Wow. And it has the mayor of had a tweet, and it says, what's his name? Macho reported that Venezuela, it is a painful reality that people hunt cats, dogs, and pigeons to ease their hunger. This is what he tweeted. People are also reporting gathering vegetables from the ground and trash to eat as well. The crisis in Venezuela is worsening every day, due in part to the shortages reaching 70%. This is going along with the world's highest level of inflation. This is to go along with the world's highest level of inflation. The population has begun to show with looting and robberies for food increasing all the time. This Sunday, May the 1st, six Venezuelan military officials were arrested for stealing goats to ease their hunger, as there was no food at the military base. The week before, various regions of the country saw widespread looting after shopping malls, pharmacies, supermarkets, and food trucks, all while people chanted, "We are hungry." The Venezuelan Chamber of Food said many businesses have only 15 days worth of inventory. Production has been affected as a result of the shortages of raw material. And this is very important because this is going to tie into what we're going to be talking about, as well as exhausting national and international supply resources. Supermarket employees confirmed food does not arrive at the same rate as it did before, and the people are unable to get enough. Is a daily struggle. Supermarkets are registering into a system in such a way that is not permitting to sell Venezuelan foods 15 days since the purchase of that same product. As a result, long food lines have formed all over the country, with many people reselling their shares to earn extra income. Wow, let's hit that again. This is crazy. Supermarkets are registered in a system in which a way that will not permit them to sell Venezuelans food 15 days since purchasing of the same product as a result of long food lines have, as a result, long food lines has formed all over the country, while people are reselling their shares in order to earn extra income. Article goes on. Okay, here it is. This is the last part of it. No, I think. So, no, that was the end of the article. Now, this is what's going on in Venezuela. And there's a couple of things that I want to touch on that and really go back to that, to this article, because some things were very, very crazy. And it's also, some of the things also is that, you know, Venezuela is basically in complete economic default, in complete economic crisis. You got people that are hungry, they're protesting for their children, that their children are dying from a lack of food and medicine, because it's not just food, it's also medicine. They say they don't have enough water or electricity. And this is a country where more oil than Saudi Arabia. This is a country that has more oil than Saudi Arabia. And they're going through this process. So you have to ask yourself, what is really going on here? I'm going to tell you what's going on in my opinion. In my opinion, this is a part of the agenda that is spreading and pushing. Because with energy, you control countries. With resources, you control people. And now they're going to be able to control the people by using food, medicine, water, and electricity as a weapon. Yes, Venezuela is going through an economic crisis. But see, why is Venezuela going through an economic crisis? What purpose does it serve for Venezuela to go through an economic crisis in today's world? By what reason would any person anywhere in the world at this time, in this moment in history, to go without? Not that they have too much, but people that have nothing at all. Why is there such a big disparity in overall resources? And you really need to ask the question, what state am I and how is that going to change? If you're someone that is in some of the countries where you haven't had much before, because of whatever reasons, the manipulative reasons that is there, what does that really mean and how is that going to change? Or is there any form of change that you see that's there? And is there any way that if you're in a country that has a lot, is there any way that you can learn from the countries, the people around the world that don't? And what is the overall change that is going to come to where you are? This is something that you need to be asking along with the rest of the members of your family so that you can appropriately prepare. And there are, you know, I don't know if you've seen some of the videos of what's going on in Venezuela, but people are fighting each other for food much worse than what they do on Black Friday, and that is only going to get worse. So why is this relevant? If you looked at this article, and I posted it inside of Tando, but if you looked at this article, some major, major things here that are popping. And the things that are popping to me is that the food rationing that is going on in this country, and what the people are responding to, how are the people responding, and what are the people having to do? If you look at this picture, no trash is being picked up. And they talk about people hunting dogs and cooking dogs in consuming cats and pigeons. This is a full-blown economic crisis, ladies and gentlemen. And this is not just going to stop at Venezuela. Why? Because it's designed to spread from Venezuela on. And the part that was really telling in this article that we need to really look at and we need to talk, and I would love to talk to you about, and if you have any comments on it or anything that you know about it, don't hesitate, give us a call. 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#. They said how they have a supply chain line, their chain of supplies are on a system where the government only allows a person to buy an item once every 15 days because they're rationing in the overall the movement of and the transportation of food is not getting through. The food trucks are being attacked. The establishments that the food is being stored at are being attacked and overrun. You are on the verge of total societal breakdown in Venezuela. And I'm going to tell you, it serves the purpose of the agenda, never the people. Never, ever the people. And this is going to, in my opinion, to grossly affect some of the things that are coming next, where Venezuela will have to attack. They're going to have a refugee problem there also, where people are going to start to flee from Venezuela by all means and start to flood the neighboring countries around because of the economic impoverishment and crisis, the food crisis that they are under. And what is that going to do? That's going to destabilize that region. And that's perfect. There's another article that is very telling. It says Venezuela opposition slams desperate state of emergency. So the Venezuelan opposition on Saturday, the article, and this one came from, where did this one come from? Reuters. Venezuela's opposition on Saturday slammed the state of the emergency decree by the president and vowed to press home efforts to remove the leftist leader this year amidst a grim economic crisis. On Friday night, the president declared a 60-day state of emergency due to what he called plots from Venezuela. Oops, let me, computers, hold on one second, let me move my cursor down. Plots on Venezuela from the United States to subvert him. He did not provide any specifics. Okay, my computer is doing everything it wants to do. He did not provide any specifics. We are talking about a desperate president who is putting himself on the margin of legitimizing and constitutionally says the Democratic Unity Coalition leader, Jesus, adding that the president was losing support within his own bloc if the state of emergency is issued without consulting the National Assembly. We would technically be talking about a self-coup, he told hundreds of supporters who waved Venezuelan flags chanting, "He's going to fall." So now the whole country, because of the economic situation that is there, is now ready for civil war. And believe me, that is what is going to happen there. And that civil war is going to drive people out of that country and as refugees into the flooding of the other nations. And guess what? Where else do you see that? You see that in Europe. Destabilization there, destabilization in South America, and this is going to spread. But the reason why I wanted to bring this up, because this is going to look like, in my opinion, what you can expect to see here at the appropriate time. And what do I mean by that? I mean by that you are going to be able to, you should expect to see shortages of food, or there won't be any shortages of food, but there will be a shortage of the ability to purchase food. You won't be able to purchase food. Why? Because the food prices will be so high, and the overall and the quality of them will be bad. You will only be able to afford some of the food that is not as fresh. And what does that mean? Spoiled food will be much cheaper and more affordable for the general population, just like in Venezuela. And this is a grave, grave threat to everyone here and all over the world, because this is the season in which they like to spread the depopulation program to bring in unstable times. So I clearly see what's happening down in Venezuela, and it's being used as an introduction. I would like to say it's one of America's economic ground zeros that are going to spread everywhere. Europe has its economic ground zero. Africa has its economic ground zero. Asia has their economic ground zero. And this is something that I believe you're going to see as it starts to spread, that you will see also here. And I see it in the exact same way that you see in Venezuela, but much, much worse. Much worse. Because we're talking about a totally different demographic here than in Venezuela and the capabilities. But once the food stops moving, once the people don't have the means to get to food, they will go from civilized to feral very, very quickly. Very quickly. And I do believe that this is a part of the global war that you're starting to see. The people there are now hunting animals. They're now hunting dogs and cats and pigeons. They are going to probably depopulate that whole area of all other living forms that are non-human before they start to move to human. This is just some of the truths. It's been seen so many times. And many people think here that this can't happen. It's already happening in America. It's already happening here. The only thing that is stopping from the exact same thing that's going on there is that the support lines that the government has, the governmental support system that they have, and they're able to keep their poverty here more in check in the United States. But they won't be able to do that for long. One, because it's not in the plans. Two, because it's economically impossible. And because they're going to introduce you to what they've introduced to Venezuela a while ago, austerity. Austerity measures. And that is going to disrupt pretty much everything. So, I'm seeing some real things that are disturbing, that are moving closer. And if you look in Venezuela, the lines, first they had the lines, and it just kept going worse, getting worse and worse. Now it's basically on the verge. You will hear pretty soon that it's civil war all throughout that country. And that is going to spread. And some of the things that you can learn from Venezuela here in the United States before this comes to a place near you, because the United States has already gone into default, ladies and gentlemen, by when Puerto Rico defaulted on the 4th, on that first Monday of the month. And I believe that was the 4th. The U.S. defaulted as well. And those defaults are going to lead to more economic displacement, that is going to lead to more economic hardship, that is going to lead to more economic destabilization. And that's going to lead to destabilization of your refrigerator, dining room, your closets, your food source. Because this is the overall design, folks. This is how you control people. This is how you control people. And our system of delivering food is the worst kind in the world for these types of situations. I'm going to tell you why. Because the United States has a policy of just-in-time delivery. The whole system is set up to where nothing is inventoried within the stores. Everything is delivered just in time. It's just a too good of a plan. Too good of a plan. But listen, we're going to go to a commercial break. And then when we come back out of commercial break, Scotty, play a couple of commercials, because there's one thing I have to do. Give me like 2 minutes or so. But when we come back, we need to talk about this a little bit further. Then we're going to get into the 96-hour margin call. Give me a call if you know anything about Venezuela or you have a question or comment about it and how this can work here. Because when we come back, I want to talk about the delivery system and why our delivery system of the staple goods and the essential things are at a critical stage, to where all it will take is something very minor and you can be without any supplies of food for days on end. And if it's any major, any significant event, there will be no food within the population very quickly, other than what's already there. So, here we go to commercial break. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back. 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. The Tando Radio Show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rand, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Had to take a quick break there. Just I want to thank you all for listening. All right, just before we left, we're talking about how the U.S. system is probably the worst system to deal with any form of crisis when it comes to food and supplies and essential supplies, because the system that they have in the United States, in order to for businesses to get as much of the profits that they possibly can, what they do is they don't have anything in inventory as they had in the old days before, in the past. And this just-in-time delivery system that they have means that they don't order something until they're running out of another of the product. And then that's when the product is ordered. It's not running out of the inventory of the product. It's just running out of the product. So if that overall line, that chain of a resupply is interrupted in any way, you're talking about stores that already have empty shelves. And what stores have in the back is not even really inventory at all. Most of the stuff that they have in the back is from the just-in-time deliveries that they need to put out. And there's no real, it's no real inventory that's waiting in the back. And this is very dangerous for the everyday person because of this. Even if you get hit with a man-made incident or a natural disaster, the food, the overall supplies, the essential supplies that one store would have or stores collectively would have is not inventoried in the back, so that they won't be able to take any kind of real surge in demand. And just imagine here in this country how long it would take before the supermarkets and the food stores, staple food stores and places of necessity, if they didn't have the resupply chain on time. Because it's going to be just-in-time delivery. So if that just-in-time delivery is delayed in any way, that means it doesn't arrive. And this is one of the reasons why it's so important to prepare when no one else is preparing or when no one else perceives a threat, so that you can go and get some of the things that you need and you've designated that, that are needs to you that are priced at a point that you can actually get them. Because if you wait until the just-in-time delivery system breaks down, it won't be enough for everyone else that will have a desire for that underlying asset or resource. And when that happens, my friends, this is where you'll move to people will be eating other animals and then everything else. This is how you get to that position very quickly. And the case of this is much worse here in the United States. Why? Because you've always had an abundance of things, and so you don't put much, we don't have much food at home. And we don't have much food at home for a lot of reasons, especially within our communities. One, budget is being one. The overall budget to feed everyone is expensive to feed people, especially when you're feeding people empty calories, food that doesn't really produce anything, nor really does it exist. It's not even really food. So your body is always in a state of malnutrition and is already in a state of lack, and this is how a lot of our sicknesses come. One of the ways in which we start to acquire the illnesses and sicknesses that definitely adversely affect our community. Then now, the whole system is set up to maximize profits and that was the story that they gave you. But what if the real story was at the appropriate time and at the appropriate place? You wouldn't be able to prepare for what's coming. Then where would everyone turn to? They will turn to the just-in-time delivery system, or when I get there delivery system of the government. The when I get there, if I get there delivery system of the government. Now, what I anticipate to happen is not just going to be in one small area. It's not going to be in one little location within a state. It's going to be massive in that it's going to be everywhere. Everyone will be adversely affected, and that puts us at a different position. That means we're going to have to compete for the things that are essential. And what I want you to do is I don't want you to compete. Now's the time to really prepare. Let me tell you, one of the reasons why I'm so tired right now is because I've been on a grind like I've never been on a grind in my life. And believe me, I started working when I was very young. Always had a crazy, crazy work ethic. And right now, the pace in which I'm doing things and is because I understand the urgency of this moment and this time. And I need to acquire some things that will put my family in a position of advantage now. And I do whatever it is that I need to do in order to facilitate that. I work my butt off because that is going to be what it takes. Because I do not want, nor do I want you to compete with the rest of everyone else that didn't prepare for what is coming. This is why I never really care about when it's going to come. I don't want it to come. But I don't want it to come from a standpoint where I'm naive that it is coming. Great, great person said to me one time, "Hear the train, don't see no tracks." That's how God comes. I hear the train. I don't need to see the tracks. I know it's coming. Because if I'm busy looking for it, that means I'm wasting my opportunities to prepare for its arrival and its drive through. And that is where we really, really are. So our system here in the United States is far more vulnerable to having people in the same state as Venezuela, but I believe it's going to be magnified greatly. Magnified greatly. And now you need to look at what does that mean for you and your family and where you live and what's around you. And there's some great opportunities. Some people say you need to get out of the city. Well, I don't know if that's always the case. Depends on what city and everything else. One of the things I know about where some of the places that we live in the places, in the hubs of some of the overall supply chains. But believe me, those supply chains will be heavily, heavily, heavily guarded. They're going to be heavily guarded. So that is going to be an obstacle. So we got a caller in queue. Let's go to this caller that's in queue. Don't like to keep the callers waiting. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what is your question or comment?
It's Brother Jim calling from Lubbock, Texas.
Jambone, what's going on, bro?
Oh, I got a lot of questions to ask you today. Let me first start off with Venezuela. And,
okay, come on. Let's roll. Go.
Okay, Venezuela and Puerto Rico. Since U.S. let Venezuela go down in its currency, or you could say it's U.S. I mean, in their treasuries and whatnot. Do you think the U.S. has what you say, a plan to let them go and destroy themselves so they can go in and scoop up everything when everything's said and done?
Great question, Jambone. And the thing is, if you know some of the history of Venezuela, it's some of the same history that we've seen repeated over and over and over again, where the resources of one country is taken away from it for the manipulation of a few people to control and enslave everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know you know that and you've seen that, and I think that is definitely the program and the design here. And the big design, in my opinion, that this is going to be one of the many components that is going to destabilize the economy of the world and the overall geopolitical structure of the world to bring in global nuclear war one.
Because, you know, since, candidate Donald Trump and everything, you know, I think I'm thinking I'm wrong. Again, I keep on thinking, and you know, I believe you and Davis is right about it could be, what was it called, what he was saying, that they have to vote for what they call that, a tie, was it a tie someone, what was it called?
Anyway. Oh, a brokered convention or something, you talking about?
Yes, okay, and I believe you're right, but it's something in deep in my heart, I keep thinking that it possibly could also be Donald Trump too, because you know, I'm thinking that overall he has some things in the back that he has some things invested. So, like for instance, supposedly that this stuff got pushed back for another year or two. I'm not saying it will or whatever, but.
Right.
You know, if everything went down really bad, even worse than it did Greece, and there was a lot of destruction over there, they could go over there and just scoop up, you know, a lot of beachfront properties next to nothing. And like you say, you know, those people over there would be willing to work for less than nothing, you know, a bag of beans or whatever. And he can go over there and just liquidate, invest in oil and all sorts of stuff. And But also, I was going to say that you know, I recently also read something about Greece. I think it was 2018 to 2019. They got until then to pay back their loan, and I think it was somebody from Germany or Russia or somewhere. They started about they don't think they're going to be able to pay it back.
No, yeah, because that's the overall design. And let me tell you what, in my opinion. Right now, what you're having is a global play for resources. Why is Venezuela being targeted? They told you in the overall article that it produces more oil than Saudi Arabia. Let me ask you, people, are resources valuable or irrelevant to?
It's highly valuable. That's my opinion, because they can add it to U.S. petrodollar.
Yeah, and it gives them leverage in the new economy, because the new economy is going to be based in assets. So what you do is you cause countries now to have to do what? Surrender their assets. And where are the countries that are surrendering the assets? The countries that can't defend themselves not to surrender it, because they're dependent upon outside support. Little fish eating up big fish. Excuse me, big fish eating up little fish. So they're targeting these countries so that that country will lose its sovereignty. Where have we heard about countries losing sovereignty, and for what reason? Oh, that's some of the new trade agreements where countries no longer have sovereign say, or their laws no longer matter because of corporations' policies and decisions. Whoa, now let's really look and take a look at that, Jambone. What does that really mean? So now, if a country goes through an economic depression, an economic crisis, and it will have to sell off its country and all of its resources to corporations, guess what? You have a trade agreement that doesn't need a vote or an approval of the so-called government that the assets are under. They can control the overall economic direction of a country, because they don't need to own anything. They need to control the intrinsic value of everything.
That makes perfect sense.
And then, so now, Venezuela. Why is Venezuela in the crosshair? Only because Venezuela has resources, major resources, that someone else can leverage for their overall economic growth. Now, who would you think that could be? A lot of people think it could be the United States.
Right.
I would say no.
Okay.
No. I would say it would be another nation. What other nation is going to have more economic power in the future?
That'd be China.
Well, China could be one. Russia could be another. There's a lot of countries that are in play here that the best interest, the vested interest in them is for what? Venezuela to lose those resources and then, guess what, ask for support from someone else. And they'll say, yes, we'll come in and help you, but this is what it's going to cost you. Or completely take over the infrastructure of the country itself. It's a dirty, dirty game. And then what happens? Once that happens, you don't need the passing of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, ladies and gentlemen. It's been seized by asset default. And once that happens, they won't need to ask the government. The government will be begging them to supply them with the very energy that they need in order to maintain the overall economic and the vibrant or the life-giving necessities of the country to be stabilized. And that would be energy. And then that energy also transfer into food. This is a nasty game. This is why Greece is under attack, Cyprus is under attack, and the Ukraine is under attack, because countries around them are positioning themselves to seize their assets and to claim them as their own. And this is only going to grow. Now, could the U.S. be in play in that? Of course they could be. Why wouldn't they? They've done it everywhere else. But see, my thinking is that when you're going to lose a war, which they are going to lose a war, you actually don't have any more ways in which you can influence countries economically and politically, because you already lose the war before the first shot is fired, because no longer does anyone listen to you. They challenge you on every mean, and that's where we are now. I don't think the United States is capable of doing this anymore. So it serves the purpose. But great question, Jambo. You said you had another question. What was that, brother?
Oh yeah, I had,
hope we made some sense there for you.
Sir,
I said, I hope we made some sense there for you.
Oh, yes, you surely did, most definitely. Here's another deal. I know that you probably don't watch very many movies, and I know a lot of people don't, but this movie I watched this weekend, it was called The Five Ways. And it was an alien invasion, but I put it into my own theory. What if it was another country that had this technology? These aliens had what you call the EMP, what you call the impulse wave. They first shut down all the power in the U.S. You see, they showed planes falling out of the sky, people having lights and everything.
Electromagnetic and, pulse.
There you go. And then they had a the second wave was natural disasters. They flooded a lot of cities that was close to the water. Then they had a lot of earthquakes and whatnot. Then, let's see, they had another one was a food shortage. And I can't remember everything, but there was one part that really stuck with me. A man and his daughter, he pulled her to the side when nobody was looking or listening. And he told her, he gave her a gun. He said, whatever you do, you keep this with you all the time, and don't tell nobody that you ever had it. And that kind of stuck with me. You know, supposedly, you know, many of us may have to do the same thing. And it was at a camp. And later, these military soldiers came in there, and they took control of everything. and it was like what you want to call, I guess you call argument, who was who, was like who was the bad guys, who was the good guys, and it was disguised. So it was overall one guy said, you're not going to keep me here, because they was taking their children away to another camp to train them as soldiers. So it was like a
big whoa, Jambo, wait, what? Holy shoot. And I'm not a movie watcher, and this is some of the stuff that we've been talking about, and I know Jambo knows because he listens to the show. There's a couple of things that you said that is they're telling you what they're going to do there, this whole thing. But and I just want to, you know, just emphasize that. But go ahead, Jambo, and then after you finish, I want to point out some of the things that you said in describing what was going on in this so-called movie. What's the name of that movie?
It's called The Five Ways.
Five Ways, okay.
Yeah, Five Ways was an alien invasion. And, well, you know, like I said, they had took all the parents and they had put them like in a barn or a big old tin shed building. And they had told them they're going to take their children away to another camp, you know, because they said they have to, scan them to see if there was any, intruders taking over their brain and whatnot. And one guy said that he's not going to keep him there. He wanted to go with his children. He's not going to stay there. So there was a big old huge fuss and argument, and everyone's pulling out their guns. And the soldiers, they wouldn't like it either. So there was a big old huge shootout. A lot of people died in that barn. That's why I was kind of figuring it was going to happen. So they sent their children to a camp, and they had these devices where they put on their head. So they had trained their children, like, from, I guess you could say, from, you know, if they could walk, talk, and shoot, you know, they was going to be in the military to teach.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So they were training the children to kill the last remaining of the survivors of the human race. And I was thinking, supposedly, if there was, like, remaining survivors that they didn't want, and they just want to take the resources or bump them off, in the United States, our own soldiers, like brainwashing some kind of way with these devices, it's possible that could happen too.
Well, you know what, Jambo, man, that was in that movie. There's a lot of things that concern me in that whole movie, and the part about the flooding the cities. That is something that's very capable. And one of the things about why is that so important? If you think about all of the cities that are near water and their overall economic importance to the whole vibrant of the nation, you can run down them. Miami, New York City, you know, Los Angeles, Southern California, California itself, the major financial places in California, San Francisco and Los Angeles, and all of that stuff can be done very easily. That can be done very easily, very, very easily. And that is, you know, and I firmly believe that a lot of times they'll tell you some of the things in some of these movies and everything else, but it may not be the exact picture that's there. And the thing that concerned me about that was the flooding of those cities. And the flooding in those cities would cause economic depression quickly. So what does that mean? The flood represented to me that they are going to have some economic hard times, manipulative and man-generated hard times there. And then the ultimate one, that they're going to have a war and that the young children will be in it. If the U.S. had engaged, if the U.S. engages, when the U.S. engages with a war with China and Russia, we've already talked about it here on Tando Radio Show about our daughters. Yes, they're going to try that if we allow that, and if we don't ensure that that doesn't happen before it happens, because they're going to create an event that will cause you to say, yes, we need to do that. But let me tell you something, it's not just our daughters. They're going to have even our youngest people in war. I'm talking about young boys and young men, young boys and young girls to the age of 12, 13, I mean, not 14 and 15 years of age. Let me tell you why that's going to happen. China has a million-man army. Russia has a large army. The U.S. has a very, very small army now because it's been overextended because of the longest war that it's ever been in Afghanistan. And this is, to me, is letting me know that this is going to be the overall plan. But it's not going to stop with just our daughters that are 22 years old. No, no. They're going to take the daughters that are 16 and 17 and even up to the age of 14 years old. This is a real problem. Yes, we have, and Scotty well pointed out that this is a well-armed country. Man, very true. But I know one thing, that these people have the ability to turn the lights off and turn the food and have the food in the refrigerator spoil. And then they, you know how you mitigate a country with a large army, I mean with a large armed population? You turn them against each other. And that large population is a force multiplier for the overall agenda at hand, because those people will turn those guns on each other. If Venezuela had a large population with a large gun population, that would be going on. They already have a lot of robberies going on. It would be far worse. And I'm not saying that from the standpoint that any gun should be taken. I don't mind no one having guns in my neighborhood, as long as the government doesn't have them either, as long as nobody else has them. So that's what that's telling me, and I definitely can. We've talked about that here on Tando, and I could definitely very easily paint out a picture where that can happen very easily. And as a matter of fact, we will at this sometime this week, because I don't think we're going to get to the 96 hour, which is cool because talking to you is more important. So yeah, Jambone, I'm very, very, very. I would be looking at that as okay. So these are some of the plans and some of the things that they like to do. Now, does that scare me? No, not one bit. Not one thing scares me, because there's so many things that I respond to from a position of advantage where I don't have to be afraid of anything. And this is one of the things that getting prepared that most people forget. You prepare so that you won't go without. And then once you start to prepare, you realize I have no reason to fear anything. The people that are going to be scared, the people that are usually scared about these things are the people that don't plan on doing anything about it. And they're like, don't talk about it. It's not going to happen. Don't talk about it. The people that actually prepare, what do? They weigh the likelihood of that happening, and they come up with some odds. And what do? They look at, and they weigh it with, if they can substantiate or validate that happening by different things that have happened, and they come up with an opinion that they move on. And that individual is very smart, extremely smart in my opinion. So yeah, Jambone, that was a crazy movie. I'm a pass on that one, brother. Since you've seen it and you told me about it, I'm a pass on it. It's pretty much more of what we've been preparing for, but it's unique because it's something that continues to be shown to us in different ways. And I just hope people will take, you know, stock and stop and really look at what's going on throughout the world to see that, oh man, things are never going back to the way they were, because we've never changed the foundation that things are built on now. So we are placed ourselves in a very bad position of disadvantage. So, yeah, Jambone, that was one of those types of movies where it makes you think.
I'll post that movie cover on
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. And here's my last question. But you posted. they finally revealed Arabia's treasury holdings of the U.S.
Oh, yeah. I missed that one. I meant to send that one to Tando. I'm glad you reminded me. Let me look at that one. But go ahead, Jambo.
Okay,
my man.
Well,
good looking up.
Okay. I already emailed you some other stuff. It's some a little old. I ain't too old. I guess you could say it's like January and a little bit of last month. And they were talking about what the Arabia was going to drop of the U.S. Treasuries. And what they posted today was only like, was it, I think it was $117 billion. Well, earlier information was trying to say that Arabia hold it $750 billion. And they was talking about that. I kind of listened to what the Asian girl was saying on the post that you posted and said, well, it could be other treasuries that they hold other than the $117 billion. I don't know
right,
if you
right.
thought that or not. But,
yeah, I did.
And, well, I was checking out some other websites and everything, and they're talking about, like, supposedly even if the treasury went down a little bit from, 750 down to maybe 4 or 3, but if you even if you wanted to multiply that $117 billion, they're looking at if the Arabia ever dropped the $117 billion, they said that the interest would be 14%. What would that be like?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like $1.6 trillion or something like that. What? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that still would be like a huge chunk of money, and that would make us even go in greater default, even with that little small amount of $117 billion.
Huge. Huge. Now, the thing about these reports is this. Why are they releasing this now? Why are they releasing this now? They're releasing this now because Saudi Arabia, who is the third largest holder, well, here's the article. Saudi Arabia owns the world's third largest reserves. And this article I just posted in Tando. And remember, the petrodollar was set up under this system where they had to hold dollars. They had to buy U.S. treasuries. And then the U.S. would help them build their infrastructure of oil and everything else, and then would military protect them and made sure that their oil was sold and they would have great wealth from there. Well, they came out that Saudi Arabia has about $116 billion of U.S. treasuries. Whenever they give you a number, multiply that by 5 or 6, and that's probably more like it. Or maybe even 10. It's probably more like it. I believe that Saudi Arabia holds far more of U.S. treasuries. Far more. And if they start dumping their treasuries, you can't sell something unless someone else wants to buy it. And no one else in the world will be stepping up to buy any of so-called Saudi Arabia's $116 billion treasuries, where China has a $1.3 trillion and Japan has $1.2 trillion, then there's Saudi Arabia. I doubt that's the case. But see, if they do drop their treasuries, the only people that are going to buy it is you. Because that's the buyer of last resort. That's the only people that the U.S. government can force on to buy that. And when they do, drop that on everyone, the overall hyperinflation in this country is going to be great. And this is where you have a Venezuelan situation, quick, fast, in a hurry. Quick, fast, in a hurry. And it is disturbing what that will lead to. So, yeah, Jambone, I'm glad you talked about that. And because I do believe that it is actively happening right now. That this is already happening as we speak. The countries dropping the U.S. dollar has already happened. You just haven't seen it yet, because no country ever would threaten to drop U.S. treasuries unless they've already have.
That's deep. And, you know, I was like, after you had posted and everything on Bloomberg, and I said, well, let me go check out all the other, what the news media was saying. So I went to, like, three or four sites, and they were, like, telling similar little bits and pieces and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But they were getting, like, the exact amount. I said, well, this can't be. They're getting, like, what you call propaganda. I said, well, they're lying through their teeth. And I said, well, you know, let me go look, search for the truth. And I said, well, maybe 750 or a whole lot more, like you're saying. It could hold like they could be holding like $1 trillion of the U.S.
Right.
Treasury, and they drop it like you say, man. It's going to be like dropping it like it's hot from the hot boys.
My man Jimbo, yeah, it's going to be far worse than that. But yeah, no country ever threatens to drop U.S. treasuries. That means they already have, and they're going to continue to drop it. And everyone else, and this is the thing. They're going to cause a panic and a race for other countries to do the same, because no other country is going to want to hold on to U.S. treasuries when everybody else is dropping it, because then that's what? That means that they are going to bear the burden of what is being sold into the market, a depreciated purchasing power currency. And that's going to cause them to have major, major economic ramifications, because they couldn't do, and they weren't in a position that the United States was in at one time where they could create debt and people would purchase it. So they're very vulnerable to everything. So they're going to jump out. Listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. Hold on, Jambone. I don't know if you had another question or if not, just hold on 1 second. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. Well, everyone, we're going to hit this commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have the last 30 minutes of the show. Give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#, and hit *61. I'll see you in queue and bring you up. Listen to the Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of mainstream media insulting your spirit and your intelligence? Join me, Zion. Allow me to shift your paradigm every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Shifting Paradigms, right here on Black Talk Radio.
Live to die, gotta live. Life is what is. Don't have much, so my all I won't give. I'm stingy. Everything I keep for my own.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and we have my man, Jambone. Jambone, we're going to get back to Jambone. Jambone, did you have any other questions or comments that you wanted to make, bruh?
No, I was going to say I did my math wrong. I think I got, was it $16 trillion that if they wanted to have interest rates about 14% of that $117 billion. Somebody correct me if this, you know, if I'm done it wrong, but yes, what I have, $16 trillion. But anyway, I was going to share one other thing, I looked at this weekend of the new Frankenstein movie, and I kind of overanalyzed it with it. It's going to be a little short, and I'll let you get back to your business. But it went along with Tulsa. I mean, pronouncing his name right, Tulsa?
Mm-hmm. Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla. Okay, Tesla invented. Okay, that movie, they had profound, so many inventions that would be similar to his, using energy from the sky and using static electricity. And what he was doing, he was bringing things back from the dead. And one of the things we wanted to bring back from the dead was his brother. And what was unique to me, they was using all kinds of like base methods and so forth. And he was talking about using like sulfate and solutions and everything. And I remember we was like sharing all kinds of information about sulfate and colloids and everything like that nature. And I was looking at like amino acids that he was using and to keep things alive. It was just something unique to me what he was like using Tesla technology in this movie. And you know, I've seen other like Frankenstein movies, but this one had more like invention and more of like a unique storyline to it. And it also had a little bit of holistic health to it too. Igor, he was like you know, an orphan child that had a cyst or something like that on his back. And it took Dr. Frankenstein to put a syringe in his back to suck out all the mucus and stuff like that. And came up with, like, I mean, he already had created, but like some kind of contraption to keep his back straight. So that right there was something I never heard or seen before. Because you always hear about like Hunchback and Notre Dame and some other like Hunchback movies. But, you know, back here's Dr. Frankenstein, like, solving that problem, suck all the mucus out of his back and get some herbs and give him like trap tracks. But that's all I want to share, man. Hey, Brother Ren, it's always great to talk to you there, brother.
Man, yes, sir, Brother Jam. That's what I appreciate you so much, man. You have a unique, and I really appreciate what you notice. And it's really, that's what makes us all much more. It makes us, puts us in a better position. It makes us much stronger because we have people that look at things much, much different in their experiences, and they share their experiences that are different. So my man Jambone gave us a little movie review. And so I didn't know the Frankenstein, you know, I don't watch movies, but now I don't need to watch him because my man Jambone give us up to date on what's going on and some of the things that they find odd. But yeah, you know, some of the things that in that is the overall medical technology that's there was probably kind of used in that. And because now the different things that they're able to create, one of the things that I was reading is that they are going to be able to have people. They're trying to have people that are in a zombie-like state, and they put them like in a zombie-like state because of the illness that they have, so that the body can so-called repair itself. So what it basically is beyond sedation. But what it is a zombie-like state so that the body can repair itself. Let me ask you something. Who in the world is going to want that to happen? I'm going to tell you, there'll be plenty of people. And I'm tell you, if science says that it can work and everything else, so many people will sign up for it. And it's not a comatose state, but it's a incoherent state where the person can still, they can't function through thought and reasoning. But everything else still functions, and everything slows down in their body, and this is a semi comatose state. very, very talented. I didn't post it in Tando because I didn't think it was really worth it. So, but my man Jambo, thanks for calling, brother. Stay in tune. Keep us up to date on what's going on in the world, brother.
No doubt, there, brother. Again, it's a pleasure, brother. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Okay, for sure. For sure. Okay, give us a call, 641-751-3660, and the participant code is 5490-32 pound and hit star 61. I'll see you in queue and definitely bring you up. Okay, what I want to do is I want to jump into the 96 hour, pick up at the 96 hour margin call. And we have like 30 minutes left, but we'll definitely get to finish this. And now, just to recap, what the 96-hour margin call was. The 96-hour margin call was just a role play. It was a fictional story of events that could possibly happen here in the U.S. and how that would go about. And I put that together in order for everyone to kind of see how small things can start to lead to other things and what you can expect to experience. And I came up with the 96-hour margin call because of what's been going on in the world and what has already happened. And so you'll hear me. And so in this whole thing, I put this together from different events that have happened around the globe and put them into perspective as to what's happening now. So the last time we looked at this was that there was a grid takedown. The power went out in different major cities throughout the United States, and just before then it started with the ATM machines, it started with the internet, then it started to grow, and then all of a sudden all of the digital electronics stopped working, from financial and everything else. And then it moved on to where it caused some real problems. And the last that we looked at was that just before we left the show, the last time we did it was that it was in hour 17. Close the door. It was in hour 17. Sorry about that, everyone. It was in hour 17. And the U.S. had just been told that they had been attacked. China had told them, or a foreign country had told them, that the United States was under attack because they did not service the debt that they had, and they refused to do it, which led to the seizing of the assets, and they wanted to seize the assets by force. And I said China, but really what I should have said is that it would have been any outside entity country. And then that was the last thing that we left at. So that was at hour 17. But just before then, the president had already stated that, went on national TV and saying that the United States would be under martial law at sundown. And this was in the summertime, and it was only 3 hours before the sun was going to go down, and everyone had to be off of the streets. And then that was the last thing that we left with. So I want to pick up from there. Okay, so now, they just received information, verified information, by way of electronic communications and also in a conference call that the United States was under attack and there was a war that was declared by a foreign nations, by foreign nations, not just one, multiple ones. And immediately, the United States went into COG, continuity of government. Martial law was now in full effect. The 3 hour delay was no longer in place. Everyone had to be off of the streets because the United States now was under attack. And this is where we pick it up. Immediately after that, COG went into effect. All of the governmental officials of the United States have been whisked away into hiding. And in that hiding, they were all informed of the condition of the war scenario that they have been, that another foreign countries have declared war on the United States, and those foreign countries said that they will start to engage on multiple fronts by multiple means. And that was the last transmissions. Immediately, the military now has gone to DEFCON 1. All of the military, through the U.S. military throughout the world, is on the highest alert and is engaging in defensive and offensive sorties against the countries that have designated themselves as being the ones. And it has been verified that four major countries are involved. And those four major countries are some of the largest economies, has some of the largest military, Navy, that is supersedes the United States' capability to defend itself. Immediately, the president requests aid from its allies of NATO. And those NATO nations decide to also go into the highest military alert, and they are deciding as the hours dwindle away, as we move into the 18th hour, if they are going to respond with the United States. And they tell the United States that the United States needs to inform them what the who the aggressors are, which they have, and what is the credible threat that is being waged. And they already know that it is credible because of what is happening here in the United States. Those countries now, multiple NATO countries, decide that they will wait at least 3 days so that they can console with their overall governments to decide what they're going to do. Immediately, the President of the United States, the celebrity figurehead President of the United States, realized that this is a global war against the United States because no ally will respond. Canada has decided that it too will wait to hear from Britain on what they will do. Mexico has decided to close all of the borders and all of its, and to put troops along the borders of the United States to prevent U.S. citizens from entering. Mexico also says that they will take 4 days to decide how they're going to respond to the United States' request for aid. Immediately after that, in the Strait of Hormuz, a USS aircraft carrier is maneuvering itself to get out of the Strait of Hormuz and out of that region there, and is hit by a Sunburn missile. And within 2 hours, that aircraft carrier, a nuclear aircraft carrier, is sunk in the Strait of Hormuz, closing all passage for the Strait of Hormuz. Also, in Alaska, in the Aleutian chain, the U.S. is tracking multiple adversary submarines, and they drop nuclear depth charges from their submarine attack fleet. No submarine is hit. The submarines are able to avoid and maneuver away from the nuclear weapons that are dropped into the Bering Strait, trying to prevent tactical submarines from getting any closer to continental United States. All efforts have failed. In Asia, in Japan, the U.S. bases in Japan are attacked by missile from the sea with a tactical nuclear weapon. destabilization of the U.S. military is becoming broad and vast. In Africa, in Djibouti, there is another tactical nuclear weapon that has gone off, not only in Djibouti, but also in Israel. The U.S. has lost a significant portion of its eyes and ears in order to defend itself within the continent of Africa and in the region, in the Middle East region. Our 22 is now engaged. It starts to get dark here in the United States, and there is a emergency bulletin that's placed on every TV screen, every computer, every laptop, every smartphone, telling the United States citizens that war has been declared by multiple nations, foreign nations, and that the U.S. government is telling its citizens to seek shelter immediately and move away from the major cities as soon as possible. The gridlock events that have already proceeded within the major cities intensify to all of the major cities throughout the continental United States. Traffic is not moving at all. And because of that, everyone is advised to bunker in place for further instructions. And they tell in the briefing that the Speaker of the House will address the nation, because the President of the United States is actively being moved, and the Vice President of the United States, and the Speaker of the House will address the nation as to what the conditions of war that have now been placed against the United States. And that actually will happen on hour 20. Moving into hour 21, in hour 21 that will happen. Moving into hour 20, and hour 20 is 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The sun starts to go down in New York City just before a blinding light is recorded in New York City and all power is out. Midtown Manhattan, New York, has just been struck with a tactical nuclear weapon. And all of the power from the state of New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, all the way to Philadelphia, to Pennsylvania, all the way to Virginia, West Virginia, South Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina, all power is completely out in that region. The United States has just been hit with its first missile attack in its recorded history. We are going to continue the 96-hour margin call. But what I want to do first is that we have two callers in queue that I don't want to keep waiting. We are now in hour 20, and the first attack in United States history by missile attack, the first bomb, the first aggressive bomb from a foreign entity in an act of war has now struck the United States in New York City. The magnitude of the weapon is not known. But when we come back, when we do this again, you will know. So let's go to a couple of callers in queue. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Greetings, Brother Dave. This is Roz. How are you?
Brother Roz, what's going on? You should be receiving something very shortly. Check your email.
No problem. Yes, sir, I will. How's everything going? I know you said you were kind of tired today.
Very good, brother. Very good. Always good to hear you, man.
Same here. Same here. I wanted to touch base because when you were talking about the grid going out, it reminded me of when we had the blackout, and there was a blackout from like Ohio all the way through New York. A matter of fact, my wife was in the city when the blackout happened, and she was trapped there for hours, and she said it was the worst experience she ever had because she didn't have a flashlight. It was pitch black, and there were people everywhere, so you didn't know what was going on, who was doing what. And weirdly enough, I think the cutoff was like New Brunswick. As far as anything north of Brunswick, New Brunswick, New Jersey had no electricity whatsoever. So I was like right around the cutoff of, and we still have power here. But I know once you went north of New Brunswick, everything was dead all the way through to Ohio, from what I understood, that far west. And it made me start walking around with a tactical flashlight. So I said, if this happens again, I'm not going to be trapped in the situation unprepared. And it just made me think at that time just how fragile everything is, because they talked about EMPs, electromagnetic pulses, and how if the sun had a powerful enough sun flare or sun flash, that it can create an EMP to do the same thing, as a natural event, essentially a natural disaster type of event. And the other thing I wanted to bring up was when you were talking earlier about just-in-time delivery of important food and other, you know, things that people need for their basic survival. I'm reading a book right now. It's very interesting. It's called The Holocaust Hoax Exposed by Victor Thorne. And he basically goes into the fact that he was saying that Jews were not killed in concentration camps like we've been led to believe. He said that they died from starvation. And he goes through breaking down all this information. He gives you sources to research. And he also even discusses the fact that the number of the Jews that died in the Holocaust was changing constantly. They kept lowering the number. And he shows like photographs from Auschwitz and all these different places where the numbers were a lot higher, and then they slowly started chipping away at the numbers. And what he talked about was what really killed the Jews was that they were not placed in concentration camps. They were labor camps. So these people were actually working. And what happened was when the Allied forces bombed the German installations, they cut them off from supplies. And that's why the Jews died of starvation. And then also they had a disease called typhus that was being spread by lice. And people were contracting it in record numbers and dying. And what they did was the gas that the Jews claimed they were gassed with is called Zyklon B. They were not gassed with those chemicals. They used those chemicals to de-louse them. So basically to help them live. So he was like, well, in the book he said, why would they ship them off to concentration camps to gas them when you could just put a bullet in their head and call it a day? You know, he said, and when I was researching Zyklon B, they talked about the Jewish Holocaust online and the fact that it was used as a delousing agent to cleanse them of lice in order to stop the spread of typhus. But the biggest impact was the fact that they said it was the loss of supplies and food created mass starvation. And that's essentially what I thought about when you were talking about that, what's going to happen here. Because you're absolutely right. Big chain stores only keep enough goods to re-up. They think just like hustlers. You know, we got rid of all the drugs, we got to go get some more. That's how they think. They don't keep anything for any sort of future or anything like that. So when these stores do run out of supplies, like in the wintertime is a great example in New Jersey, where we get hit with big-time snow, everybody runs to the supermarket, they buy all the salt everywhere you go, and they have to wait for supplies. They don't have any sort of extra supplies anywhere. So if you needed something basic like salt to get through, you know, a really bad snowstorm or a blizzard, you're not going to have it. And that's exactly what you're speaking of when you talk about, you know, the fact that just-in-time delivery. When they stop delivering, whatever's on those shelves is what's left, and whoever doesn't get anything, oh well, so you know it's on you. And it really just, I hope that this impresses upon people just the idea of being prepared, especially with those basic necessities. Also, I think Dr. Hawkins was on recently talking about water filtration, which is something I'm going to definitely look into very, very soon as well. It's just really important that we get ourselves prepared, simply because, you know, when this stuff hits the fan, like you said 1,000 times, Americans aren't used to it. I remember, you know, Russia in the 80s with the long lines for bread and people walking around with duffel bags full of dollars that were worth nothing. And we have never, ever seen that in America. I think the closest America came to that was in the Depression, and nobody alive is alive today, or very few people are alive today, that experienced that. So it'll be a brand new situation for everybody, because the vast majority of the country has never lived through that kind of poverty. And I think Venezuela is the greatest example of what's to come here. And like you said, it's going to be on a way bigger scale, and it's going to be way more violence because of the fact of what you said earlier, that there's guns all over this place. So people are going to go into criminality on a level that we've never seen before. And that, like you said, that'll just go lead right into what the white supremacists in control of everything want to do, which is to lock down and population control by killing off as many people as possible. So I just wanted to chime in with that and just say thank you for this show. Awesome program today.
Man, my man, you know, and the thing about it is that's critical, because what started my preparing was the blackout in New York City in the 70s, and I experienced that as a child. And right then and there, I knew never again would I ever be caught off guard like this.
I was super young, and I was like a little kid. I must have been like maybe 3 or 4 or something, but I think I was 4. But I remember, all I remember was I'd never seen the streets pitch black before. I remember for the first time I could see the stars at night, because New York, you know, the lights, all of the lights blocked me from really seeing the stars. I was able to see the stars, and I couldn't go outside. There were people outside with flashlights. My mother was like, "You're not going outside. You crazy." But there were people all over the block, and I'd never seen the streets that way. So go ahead and finish, but I just wanted to chime in, because I did remember that.
Yeah, that was I was a little older. I was of age of, you know, where I understood exactly as soon as it happened what just happened, and I knew what it meant. And that was the most terrifying thing for me at that point, because you became extremely vulnerable, and you were vulnerable to everything that was going on. The only thing that was the saving grace was the cars that were passing by. And if no car came by your street at that time, and people weren't getting in the cars because they couldn't even walk to the cars to get to them, because they caught everybody by surprise, no one knew where any flashlights were. It took all of 30 to 45 minutes for a response to the lights to come on from just the people that were there, because they didn't know where anything in their house was. They didn't prepare for anything. The only thing that was saving people was people had matches and lighters. That was the only thing that saved them, to start to be able to start to respond to it in some form of appropriate response, or not even appropriate response, with any response that you could. And it took a while. And then that's when all heck started to break loose in New York and in Jersey. I remember, and then the one that you talked about with your wife, I remember, I think that was in 2004.
Somewhere around that.
2004.
The early
2004,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think it was 2004, 2005, but you're right. You're absolutely right. And she called me crying. She was like,
it wasn't 2005. It was 2004.
It was definitely in the early 2000s. I remember it vividly, because she had called me, and she was just like, "I've never seen anything like this. I'm really scared because I can't see in front of my face, but I'm right in front of Madison Square Garden, and there's people everywhere, but you can't see anyone." And I think some people have flashlights on their cell phones, and she actually bumped into a gay brother that she used to work with on another job. He had a flashlight on his phone, and he actually hung out with her until she was able to catch the train. Like, he kept her company. And other than that, she was just like, "I never experienced anything like this." And she was terrified of working in New York after that. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know what? I didn't even look the time. We're about to run out. We got to get out of here. Hey, bro, we got to talk about this again, and we'll pick up on the 96-hour margin call. Okay, everyone, just want to thank you for listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll catch it again tomorrow. Peace, much love, much respect. Thank you, brother.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.